turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And the title of my message this afternoon is When the Enemy Gets a Foothold. When the Enemy Gets a Foothold. And this morning, we learned the difference between sin and the difference between a stronghold. And you say, Pastor, well, what's the difference between sin and a stronghold? Well, sin is an act, right? It's an act of disobedience. So let's say, for instance, I used this illustration this morning. If imagine two men, one man lies, the other man lies as well, but that one man, the first man that lied, he got convicted, asked for forgiveness, and then moved on. But then the second man lied, continued lying to such a way that he would lie just for no reason. And this man continued lying daily, that eventually no one began to believe anything he said because he was a habitual liar. And if you imagine, the second man got to the point where people just wouldn't believe what he said, but it became his identity. Here comes the, hey, good to see you, Edward. Yeah, here comes the, you know, and then they would say that. Well, sin and the act of disobedience is just lying, confessing it. But the stronghold is creating a pattern of thinking or action, of behavior. Okay? In other words, you're rooted in that sin that it becomes who you are. And it's important that we understand that a stronghold here can affect any believer, every believer. We're not perfect, right? But here's the question that probably we need to ask ourselves. Are we refusing to deal with sin in our life? Or are we allowing the stronghold to remain? Am I living in sin? That's the difference. And the Bible teaches that Satan cannot possess a child of God. Ephesians 4, chapter 4, it says, be ye what? And? Now, this is why I tell you, read your Bible and don't just go based off what the pastor says, okay? Here in this situation, I'm your pastor, but I want you to read it for yourself, and I want you to draw out, what is God showing me? Because I kept reading this, and this is what I normally say. You can be angry, right? But don't commit the act of disobedience, of sin, right? But that's not what it's saying. Be ye angry and sin not. What is it saying? Here you go. This is what it's saying. Let not the sun go down upon your, neither give place to the. So anger is true, but you have to add on to it. So it's true. If you are angry, that's not sin. What becomes sin is unresolved anger. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, anger. That's how we sin. When it's unresolved issue in our life, we don't want to deal with it, we're angry, we're upset with whoever in the relationship, and it's unresolved. Well, Pastor, what happens when it's unresolved? Well, you're giving an opportunity, a place to the devil. It's a neither, right? So don't just go to bed unresolved with unresolved anger, but never give an opportunity to who? Don't give an opportunity, a place to who? Yeah. How many of you here are saved this morning? Raise your hand. I'm saved. Can demons possess you if you're saved? No. They can't. But what is the Bible telling us? Neither give place, an opportunity, an open door. Can they oppress us? Yes. When we continue living in sin, when we continue with unresolved sin in our life, when we continue rooting in sin, and it's come to the point where it no longer convicts us. It no longer convicts us. It no longer hurts when we think or say or do things, and they're wrong and they're against the word of God. When we get to that place, yeah, we can't be possessed by the devils, because who indwells us? The Holy Spirit. But you know what? We can give a place to him. An opportunity for him to work. An opportunity for him to use that sin, that unresolved sin in our life, and make our lives miserable. Pastor, are you saying that there's demonic oppression? Yeah, I'm saying that there is. The Bible teaches, again, Satan can't possess your soul. You can't possess your spirit because you are a child of God. Because every believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. When you receive Jesus Christ, in Ephesians 1, I think it's 13 through 14, you can look it up. We're indwelled with the Holy Spirit. We're commanded to walk in the Spirit as well. And in 1 Corinthians 6:19. But however, the scripture, when we're reading it here, guess what it's teaching us? We can give place. Guess what it teaches us? We can be hindered. Guess what it's teaching us? We can be deceived and sifted. We could be oppressed by the devil. Let me ask you something. What area in your life this morning is not surrendered to God? That's the place that I'm talking about. That's the place. What area in your life have you not surrendered to God this morning? You say, Pastor, well, at least I'm not demon-possessed. You're right. But do you want demonic oppression? That area that you and I have not surrendered to God is what he exploits to oppress us. That sin that we're living in is what he uses to ruin our potential for God. Well, Pastor, what does that mean? Who knows the fruits of the Spirit? Or some of them, right? What's a fruit of the Spirit? Love. You know what he can do? That area that's not surrendered to him, that includes dating, marriage, parental, all these type of relationships, right? Love, they need love, right? Guess what he can do? He can hinder that love. Because we've given him place. Because of the unresolved sin in our life that we continuously commit out of habit. Follow what I'm saying? This is what the devil does. He oppresses those areas that are unresolved, that are unsurrendered to God, that are unsubmitted to God. And we wonder, why am I going through this, God? That's an area in your life where you need to surrender, Zeke. Hey, is there an area in your life that you haven't surrendered to God? Because this is what the devil does. We're giving him an opportunity to hinder us. And my friends, this morning, I'd like to preach on this topic, when the enemy gets a foothold. First point I'd like to share with you is this: oppression. I guess I should have put demonic, but amen. I don't want to scare people. Oppression begins when we give the devil place or an opportunity. Again, we read it: be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to who? To the devil. Paul is writing to Christians. He's not writing to unbelievers. Paul is writing to saved people. He's not writing to unsaved people or people of the world. He's writing to Christians. And so we need to look at this passage and notice that, you know what? Anger, can you have righteous anger? Yes or no? Right? It's called righteous indignation, right? You can have righteous anger, right? I could be upset for that fucking devil, Brother Jeremiah, how he destroys lives and how he uses his devices to manipulate his situation and keep people from reaching the potential, right? I could get mad at that. That's not what the Bible's condemning, is it? Is he condemning that? No, that's why it says, be ye angry and sin not. When we use the Bible the right way, we understand, hey, there's righteous anger, right? There is good anger. I love this. That's not what's condemned. You know what the sin is? The unresolved anger. The unrighteous anger. Hey, that person that did something to you that you haven't learned to forgive, and you can't move past what they did. Hey, that anger of your past that someone hurt you and someone, I don't know why I'm saying this, but someone did something to harm you and get back at you and you just can't seem to forgive. It's created like bitterness or resentment or this anger. My friends, that's what's condemned here. Unresolved anger is what's condemned, not righteous anger. Paul is telling people in a way, the bitterness. They hurt you. Zeke, get over it. All right, 7 years of your life, you lived it for the devil, 14 to 21. Get over it. Your dad hurt you. Okay. Get over it. There's some people in the church that know better. They shouldn't be talking and criticizing your mom. But get over it. You follow me? You can't hang on to unforgiveness forever, folks. You can't hang on to resentment. Because what it does, it gives a place to that stinking devil in your life. And where you could have been right, I could have forgiven you, guess what? You go down that path of rebellion. Man, listen, you're hearing it from somebody who went through it, man. And that's what I'm saying. My father-in-law is a great man, but he pointed me to the right man, Jesus. He helped me explain, and he explained things in a way where this ministry is what heals me. But I'm trying to share that. You too can be healed. You too can go to a road of recovery, but you have to admit, is there some unresolved area in your life where there's sin? And the devil is using that to hinder you, like he did me in my life. See, the devil, that's where he works, in a place. See, the devil, the place is like, put it this way, it's like an idea of giving an opportunity or an open door. Because remember, he doesn't have possession of our heart. He doesn't have possession of us. But it's like we're allowing the enemy to influence us through unresolved sin. Instead of Paul's telling the Christians, hey, you can't become possessed, but you can be oppressed. Careful, don't do it. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it. In the person of who? This is Paul, I know, he's a poet, didn't even know it, amen? But here's a man that he says, man, I'm willing to forgive anything. I'm willing to forgive the fact that you told me you were going to be there to help me with my plumbing and you didn't show up, amen? I don't know. I got to make up this. Get it from the air, amen. I forgive you because you said you were going to take me out to lunch, amen, and you didn't take me out to lunch, amen. Sorry, I could do better with the illustrations, amen. But this is what he's saying, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave in anything to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of who? The reason I can forgive is because Christ forgave me. And I'm a Christian, I'm in Christ, that's my identity. So how could I not forgive you when Christ forgave me? Right? Continue. 2 Corinthians 2:11. Lest Satan, here you go, let's give that devil an opportunity. Give that devil a place. Give that devil an open door. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. Not only can Satan get a place, but what else can he get? An advantage. For we are not ignorant of his what? Again, this is the context of this, by the way. It's talking about forgiveness. That's the context. So when you go there and read it with that in mind, that Paul's trying to help people with forgiveness. And he's talking to them and he's saying, look, this is how you restore yourself, or how you can restore a believer that's repentant. Okay, you forgive them. Okay, and so Paul, he's saying, look, don't be that Christian that refuses to forgive. He's warning, hey, don't allow Satan to gain an advantage. So you know what I do? I forgave you already. That's not a big deal. You know what I've had come in my life sometimes? People say, Pastor, I'm sorry for this and this and this and this. And I'll be honest with you, I was already over it. I have to be. I don't think people quite understand that. Those of us that are in ministry, we understand this a little bit more, I think, and people that walk with God, You have to be close to God because of what's going on in your life. It's just a lot. And it's a lot that you can't do by yourself. And you are horrible at it, but you know you need God's help. And the thing about it is, you know you have to be right with God. So those little things that people do to you, you forgive them. Not because you're not trying to deal with it, not because you're in denial, it's because your heart has to be right with God, right? In order for the relationship with people to be right. I can't look at you with a clear conscience if I haven't forgiven you. So this is what Paul's talking about. I don't want the devil to have an advantage of me, over me. I don't. And I know we're not perfect, but we're not going to quit. Because this is what Paul's saying. Man, we want to restore those believers that are repentant. And so that way we don't give Satan an opportunity. Because here's the thing. A lot of relationships I notice are broken. And here's the thing. Because the devil uses believers that are weak. What do you mean? What are people, believers that are weak? They don't have muscles? No. Spiritually, they get offended. Or they're not willing to forgive. It's that kind of spirit. Or they have this victim attitude. And I'm going to tell you something. Don't let the devil take advantage of that. You follow me? Amen. One of the hindrances I notice here, and that's what Paul is saying, is this. This is what's going to divide the church if we don't forgive people that are repentant. If there is someone that's sorry, I want you to ask yourself, am I holding bitterness this morning? Have I refused to forgive someone? This is a good one. Am I secretly nourishing sin instead of confessing sin? Some of us like our sin, don't we? Oh, I like being a poor little old me, poochy lip type of Christian. Oh, I love that. And then the devil's going to use that to his advantage. He's like, Pastor, you're not doing well. You're like, oh, yeah, you're right. Oh, my back, my neck. Amen. Start remembering everything. Amen. Guess what the devil's going to do? He's going to use that to his advantage. You don't need a pastor that's feeling bad for himself. Amen. You need a pastor that's closer to God and walking with God so he can give you the message to deliver to you, to your home, to your family, to your children, amen, to our church. We don't have time to play these games. We don't have time to give the devil a place. We don't have time to give the devil an advantage in our lives. And Paul, I truly believe, is trying to help the Christians avoid for the devil's, I guess, the Satan's gain, you know, trying to avoid, hey, I don't want the devil to take advantage of my kids, my marriage, some of us, our finances, amen. So are you holding on to something? Man, here's the truth of it, right? The devil doesn't own you. Your body's been bought with a price. Yeah. I think we give him too much power. And don't let him take advantage of us. The devil doesn't need ownership. All he needs is for us to give him an opportunity. That's all he needs. Here's the second point. If you're still with me, say amen. Oppression not only begins when we give the devil a place, but oppression grows through deception. It thrives through deception. Through lies. 1 Peter 1:5 says, be sober, be vigilant. Okay, so hey, let's be serious about this. Don't be under the influence of anything, right? Have a sound mind. Be sober. Also, be spiritually aware of your surroundings. Why? This is why. This is what Peter's saying. Because your enemy, nemesis, adversary, the person that wants to kill, steal. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may what? Take out. Devour. Now, pause right here because I want you to see the spiritual implication in this sense with the physical. Lions, how many of you know about lion, the prides? Amen. Lion, you know. I guess they don't call them packs, but they call them prides, right? And there's a lion, and then the lioness are the hunters, right? Or huntresses. But they have a little scheme working there. But who do they usually take out? Do they usually take out the strongest of the pack or the strongest of the flock or the herd? Who do they usually take out? The weak ones. So he's saying, hey, Christians, weak Christians, those that get offended so easily, Christians, Christians that you're still growing with nurturing that sin, Christians, those Christians that can't give forgiveness, Christians, those Christians that hang on to bitterness, Christians, weak Christians. He's saying, hey, Christians that haven't surrendered that area in their life where they're living in sin, Christians, can I tell you something? The devil's after you. So be spiritually aware. Be alert. Stop being distracted. Stop being under the influence of something else. That's what's happening here. Because the devil, guess what he's going to do? He's going to get you. He's going to devour you. Continue. Whom? Here you go. What's that word? Resist. Steadfast in the what? Faith. Where's the power? Where's the power? Who owns you? Who owns us? God. We're children of God. And all we have to do is resist firmly, steadfast, unmoving, no matter what it seems, no matter your circumstance, no matter your happenings in your life, no matter if things are not going your way or what you think the way they should go, guess what? Stand. Steadfast in the what? Faith. How's your trust in God today? Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Hey, this is happening to everyone else. I know it's new to you. I know it's unique to you. But can I tell you something? It's not a first. There's nothing new under the sun. So there might be people that have gone through what you're going through. You ever thought about that? Well, how do they overcome that? How do they get through that? Faith. Trusting in God. Maybe we should ask, right? The devil doesn't need, again, ownership. He just needs an opportunity. But I also notice here that when we're reading this passage of Peter, Peter is acknowledging we're going to face suffering, right? He's saying, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may, what? Devour. So if there's an area in my life where I'm vulnerable, guess what? That's the area he's going to attack. You follow me? Satan is a predator to vulnerable Christians. And the command here is to stay spiritual alert. It says, be sober, be vigilant. And then it goes on to verse 9, and it says, whom resist? Resist him. That's the command. Be sober, right? Be vigilant and resist. That's the steps. And so when you're looking at this, you say, Pastor, I'm distracted right now because my kids need this. Or I'm distracted right now because my husband needs this or my wife needs this. Listen, don't be careless with your spirituality. How about that? Because it's going to cost you much more in the long run. Why would I put my children and expose my children under the schemes of the enemy? Why would I ever do that? Can you please answer that to me, please? Why would I ever do that? Some of you say, well, I can do it. I mean, I don't care. This is not going to bother me. Yeah, but what about your loved ones? The way I live is the way I live. That's just how I am. So far, I'm so good. Okay, but you're not getting it. That's not what life is. The bigger picture is, who are you influencing that you don't even know of? Are you really that cruel? The devil is a master counterfeiter, folks. 2 Timothy 2:24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, continue, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, continue, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the So the devil has a place. The devil has an advantage. He has a what? A trap, a snare. Who are taken captive by him at his what? We're not talking about demon possession, folks. We're not talking about The Exorcist or the movies you've seen in Hollywood, okay? That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about people levitating from the ground. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about true strongholds. If you continue living in sin, you're giving the devil an advantage. You're giving the devil an opportunity, and you're giving the devil permission to entrap you. That's what we're talking about. And if you say, I'm struggling with this, I don't know how to overcome it, we're trying to tell you how. Oppression thrives through deception. And Paul here is telling the believers, hey, you could be ensnared. Let me see. Go back. Instructing those. What is instruction needed for? What's instruction needed for? Come on. Why do I need instructions? Guidance. Thank you. Direction. Right? That's what the Bible does. Let me ask you something. But if I can think for myself, Miss Deborah, why do I need instructions? I can think for myself. My mind might get me in trouble. Anyone else? My type of thinking might be what? Huh? Yeah. Carnal minded. It's easy for me to get upset and mad and think, hey, I justify this because my dad was never a part of my life. Careful with that thinking. The devil might entrap you. This is why we need instruction. Those that oppose themselves, if God preadventure will give them repentance and the acknowledging of what? The truth. It wasn't my dad. It was that stinking devil, man. He said, well, your dad did. Okay, in part, yes. But look at it this way. Why did God allow that and permit that in my life? Not like I felt like I deserved it, but why didn't I deserve it? Why didn't I deserve God to use me? Why didn't I deserve God to take me down that valley and that hurt and that pain and that suffering? Why don't I deserve that? Well, you were a child. Yeah, but I'm a man now. I didn't stay a child. See the thinking? Because God needed to prepare a man who, no offense, ladies, but no woman, even Gudelia Rivera, as much as she tried, Gudi, Huita is what my nephews and nieces call her, that even Huita can raise a man. A woman can't raise a man. Sorry, just can't. Yeah, you can bring him up, you can love him, but it's opposite. It's different. Well, who else is going to have to raise me? My Heavenly Father. That's why he gave me father figures. That's why he gave me the Word of God. That's why he gave me mentors. Why not me to suffer? Why not? See, the error of our ways and the way we think of things, we don't acknowledge the truth. This might be part of God's plan, son, because you never had a dad. And you're going to have to realize that man's going to suffer. But he has to continue. You're going to have to realize that a man sometimes is going to be confusing and you're not going to know what to do, but you still have to continue doing what's right. That's what a man does. He gets grit. He gets going. He gets tough. And life is tough. And the best teacher that I could ever have was God, acknowledging this truth. Nobody was going to pay my bills, I promise you. And if they were going to pay my bills, it's not... I have a higher lifestyle than that, amen? So please pray for your pastor, amen? But I want us to understand that sometimes our thinking, continue the next verse, is our downfall. How could God recover someone that never was taught by a man? Well, through his word, through his instructing. How can I avoid the traps of the devil? Because those traps of the devil is really what takes us captive, right? Oh, you are a product of your environment, Zeke. You are. You grew up in Fifth Ward? Oh. Yeah, guess what? Your life is going to be there. Doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. It's not. Why? I'd rather trust in God. What I'm trying to say here is this. The devil likes painting the chains that he has us in bondage. And he tries to paint them and make them look nice, make them look expensive. And he's trying to say, yeah, rebel against God. You don't have to listen to that preacher. You don't have to listen and read the Bible and listen to the preaching of the Word of God. They just want to control you. My friends, I'm going to tell you something. As much as I don't like to admit, I can't even control my wife and my children. Amen? Let alone you. I am not going to waste my time trying to control you. Let's just put that out there, okay? I'm not trying to control anyone. Don't let that devil stick those lies in there. Amen? Those are lies, and that's deception. That's how he thrives. But I do want to tell you this. It's not happiness. If you and I are living in deception, it's not happiness. He'll convince each and every one of us to compromise. He said, look, if you miss praying one time, it doesn't hurt. You miss reading the Bible one time? So, you've been doing it before? Yeah, but remember why you came to church? Why you want to go back to the world? Pastor, it's tough. Don't let that devil deceive you. Don't. Don't let that demonic oppression control you. If you're still with me, say amen. So, Pastor, what do I do? Don't be like fish. What do you need to get a fish? Amen. You need bait and you need a what? Why? Something nice, something enticing, fulfilling maybe for the fish. But what happens? They get hooked. Don't fall for it. That's the devil's hook. That's the devil's snare. Third point, if you're with me, say amen. So we won't always see the hook underneath the bait, just so you know, okay? Oppression is overcome by what? Submission. We need to understand that oppression begins when the devil is given a place. Oppression thrives through deception. It grows through deception. But understand also that oppression is overcome by submission. James chapter 4, verse 7 through 8 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. That's the first commandment. Resist the devil. What's the second commandment? Resist. And he will flee from you. Third commandment, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye what? Double-minded. James, again, is not addressing unbelievers here. Paul was not addressing unbelievers. Peter was not addressing unbelievers. These are all people that are saved. Why is he speaking to saved people? Why is he speaking to people that are Christian? Doesn't the world need this? Yes or no? Yeah. But see, the devil already lost our soul. Guess what he's trying to get you to lose? The potential for God. What you could do for God. How God can use you. And you know who's the one that has the target? That man that's trying to do what's right, man. That lady that's trying to do what's right. That boy that's trying to do what's right. That girl that's trying to do what's right. That's who's got the target on their back. That's why these men of God are talking to Christians and folks that are saved. Because the devil's not after the world. Why? They're running the course of the world. But you are thinking for yourself? What? You're acknowledging that there's truth in the Word of God? You're acknowledging that there might be faith and trust in a supreme being, a higher being? Oh, you're dangerous. You're not willing to submit to me? Well, here's the key. This is what James is saying. James is talking to the believers, and he's dealing with the worldliness and the conflict in their life. And he's saying, look, this is the sequence for victory. Submit. Resist. That's it. Submit. Resist. But it's not the key to being self-reliant. No, we're dependent on God. We're codependent. Amen? That's where we get it wrong. We think the victory comes through us. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through which strengtheneth me, right? Through Christ which strengtheneth me. Where does the true victory come through? Who? Christ. The devil knows that. So that's why he's saying, hey, No. Keep that area of your life unsubmitted to God. No, don't do that. Careful. I might have revival. Stop. No, don't do that. That might change your marriage. Don't do that. Hey, what are you doing? Stop. Your family might start going to church. Don't do that. Do what's easier. Do what comes natural. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. When we want to experience true victory, we must submit to God. Not the pastor, not the parents, not the spouse, to God. To God. You say, Pastor, why? Because he has the authority to confront the enemy. I don't. Even the archangels, right? The archangels don't even have that authority. They'll fight him. They'll go against him. But even, what was his name? Was it Michael or Gabriel? In the book of Daniel, he's like, man, I'm not gonna mess with this one. I mean, you're talking about archangels, celestial beings. I'm not a celestial being, I'm a human being. And they have that respect toward that power. Why? It's God. Only God can confront the devil. The second most powerful being. Next. Ephesians 6:10-11. Finally, my brethren, be what? Strong. In the what? By the way, folks, I'm doing good. I'm only 4 minutes past. And in the power of his might, put on the whole what? What's the key? The whole armor. Not part. We can't be partial Christians here. Jesus gave it all. That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of who? Does it say so you will be able to confront? That's a different word. Does it say so you could be able to fight? What does it say? Just so you could stand. Just so you could protect yourself. What? Unless my English is wrong. Is that what it says or no? How many times some of you feel tired? Like you want to quit? I'll go raise my hand. Amen? I do. Pastor, you? Yes. I have to lean on him. That's the truth. Do I want to look like I'm surfing through it and just, what's the right way to say it? That I'm just cruising through this life? I would like to look that way. I would like to think that, but that's not real. I have struggles just like everyone else. I have hardships just like everyone else. And sometimes I get so overwhelmed and burdened with it that I'm like, man, what's the point? What's the point? But you can't think that way, right? You have to put on the armor just so you can stand. Just so you can stand. Paul is talking again to believers here. And here's the thing. He's instructing them to what? Stand. Be strong, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So let me ask you something. Is your strength to stand, to be strong, is it found in you, in your might? Or in God's might? Stop trying to fight the battles. Give them over to God. That's the problem we have. Unresolved issues in our life, areas that we have not turned over to God, is because we stop giving them over to God. You know what we do? I'm going to do it in my might. I know better. I know how I was raised. I know what to do. Stop living like victims, folks. When Christ has called us to stand, it doesn't look like a victim, right? It looks like a victor. It looks like someone that has succeeded. Yes, not every struggle is demonic, but I want you to say this. I want you to understand this. Every struggle that we have fight is flesh, is carnal. It might not be demonic oppression. We give the devil too much credit, but it is what we want. If you read in James, right, where do wars happen? Where do they come from? From whence? From the what? Our lusts. In other words, whatever I want. I want this. I want that. That's where it comes from. Bow your head, close your eyes. The scripture is clear. We have an adversary. It's the what? The devil. And the devil looks for opportunities. The devil looks for a place. The devil looks for an advantage. The devil looks for traps that can hinder our walk with God. Here's a challenge. If you've given the devil a place this morning in your life that's unresolved sin, like bitterness, deception, anger, compromise, whatever, could you please confess it this afternoon as the piano plays? Are you putting on the whole armor of God daily? Why would I want to open or leave doors open when Jesus Christ, who overcame sin and death, closed those doors? Why would I want them remained open in my life? I don't understand that. I'm not asking for perfection, folks. I think sometimes we misunderstand that. All I'm asking is submission to God. Could you submit to God? Pastor, how do I do that? You're thinking, submit it to God every day. Your speech, submit it to God every day. Your emotions, your feelings, your heart, submit it to God every day. That's what I'm talking about. My behavior. I need God's help. You need God's help. John, 1 John 4:4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. As a believer, you and I can have confidence, not the ability, but we can have the confidence and the trust and the faith to overcome Satan through Jesus Christ. Pastor, why? Because he already won the victory. Stop trying to win the victory. Jesus, 2,000 years ago, already won the victory. All we have to do is join Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for your truth. Lord, I know the answer is not fear, but it's courage. It's faith. And Heavenly Father, it's belief in you. Lord, I didn't want to name it demonic oppression because I know sometimes there's like fascination, some weird fascination with demons and end of times. And I'm not trying to take away from truth. But it is oppression.